A quick reminder before we get to today's episode, the science Kickstarter is underway. So if you aren't familiar with science, listen to this quick description of the graphic novel from writers Jason Inman and Ashley Victoria Robinson. It's a book I'm really excited about. I can't wait to get my hands on it and share it with my 7-year-old daughter. I think that Ashley and Jason are great writers, and their passion for comics is obvious, and it shows in the quality of their books. So take a quick listen and go pledge and share the Kickstarter with all your friends. Let's talk about your new Kickstarter. What's it all about?
It's called Science with an exclamation point.
So you gotta say it like that.
You gotta say it like science.
Yeah, there you go. You gotta clip everybody's microphone when you say it.
Take care about that, everybody. Wake up.
Yeah. It stars a 14-year-old girl named Tamsin Trecru. It's more of a middle grade story, whereas Jupiter Jet was more of an all age story. So I guess that means it's a little bit edgier in the type of storytelling, but she is attending the Prometheus Institute. And it's the most amazing kind of school that has cute little robots called stats that fly around. It's got experimental physics. It's got amazing labs, but Tamsin's maybe not as happy to be there as she should be. And that's because her dead father used to be the headmaster there, and working there is what took him from her. So she's determined to, take the school down from the inside, like a normal teenager would want to do.
It's Harry Potter if Harry Potter wanted to destroy Hogwarts. There you go.
Tamsin is driven not only by, the trauma that comes along with losing a parent, but her father was a real smart science guy and downloaded his consciousness into her super cool glasses. So she actually sees a projection of him, and he can see everything that she's doing. And he's leading her on this quest, but he can also see like her interactions with her cute roommate, Garen, which is not what you want your dad to see when you're 14.
And the thing is, too, is that her father actually died when she was 3. So she never knew her father. The only father she has known is this holographic version of her father that has sort of existed around her. Science is a story that we think is pretty unique. I don't think there is a sort of teenager-y Star Trek science fiction-y with real facts out there. And if you like Jupiter Jet and you like our podcast, you like any of our tone, then I guarantee you're going to like this. You're going to like our flavor. And you hear about our passion for comics. Everything we do is how much we love comic books. And we inject that into our comics. Like, I think when you read our comics, especially Jupiter Jet and our stuff in the If anthologies and Love is Love, you can feel that love pouring through. And science is the exact same thing. So if that doesn't convince you to buy science or help us pre-order or make this book, then I don't know what will.
All right. If that sounds like something you might be interested in, I highly encourage you to go and check out the Kickstarter for Science. The good news is that in less than 36 hours, the Kickstarter was fully funded. So what that means for you, as someone who goes and does a pledge, you are guaranteed to get the book, right? Like, a lot of times you see something, a Kickstarter, you're excited, you pledge, and it doesn't get fully funded. And you're not out any cash, but you wanted the book. That's why you pledged in the first place. So you don't have to worry about that with science. It's fully funded, and now we're on to stretch goals, right? And if you listen to our previous spotlight episode on science, you'll know that Jason and Ashley, the first thing they're going to do with any stretch goals they meet is add more content, more pages, more story. So again, I think it's completely worthwhile. I've already pledged. Go over there, do yourself a favor, and check it out. Podcast. I'm your host, Jace. This is a spotlight on Return of Wolverine number 1, which came out last Wednesday, September 19th, written by Charles Soule. We have pencils by Steve McNiven, inks by Jay Lystein, colors by Laura Martin, and letters by VC's Joe Sabino. There's also about a million, well, maybe not a million, but about 30 variant covers. From everybody, from Joe Cassidy with Laura Martin to Steve McNiven, Jay Lysine's got a cover, Todd Knock did a cover, Linnell Francis Yu did a cover. There's quite a few out there. So overall impressions, interesting. I'm very curious to see what happens next. It's pretty bloody. It's pretty violent, as you would expect with a Wolverine title. So let me dive into the synopsis here, and then I'll talk more about my thoughts. Open up the front cover, and it has this black page, and it says, Wolverine, period. A great hero, period. Selfless, strong, brave, an X-Men, an Avenger, a steadfast friend, an implacable enemy. He was dead. Now, he's not. Chapter 1, Hell. So, interesting way to start. Give up two pages right away to, I don't know, try to make a statement. Try to talk about how many different aspects there are to Wolverine's persona, I guess you'd say, to his personality. And that may play into the book a little later. We'll talk about it when we get there. So the first page of actual story opens up. We see Wolverine in his old classic blue and yellow costume. He's got his claws popped. They're glowing red hot for some reason. He's screaming in pain. His costume's pretty tore up, and he's bleeding from a lot of different places on his body. The blood's literally dripping off him onto the floor, into a pool of blood, really. And he sticks his hands down there, and we see the claws hiss as they cool off. It's possible this is more than just blood. There may be some water there too. And he looks down at his hands as the blood pours off them, and the claws look more normal as we're used to seeing them. And he retracts them back into his hands, and he looks a little surprised by that. So he looks around at his surroundings. Looks like he's in some kind of underground bunker. And there's a woolly mammoth to his left in some kind of a compartment. It's not really a cage. There's no bars or anything. It looks like plexiglass and metal. We also see a wound in his side that doesn't seem to be healing for some reason. His healing factor doesn't seem to be working on it. And he looks around. He sees other, I don't want to say people, because they don't really look like people, but there are others there who are dead. And then he hears a voice asking for water. And as he finds this scientist bleeding from many places, the scientist is surprised to see him, saying, no, they killed you, you're dead. And Wolverine's response is, well, it doesn't seem like it. Here's some water, calm down, I won't hurt you. And the scientist goes on to say, are you him? And Wolverine says, I don't really know how to answer that. I'm a little foggy right now. I don't really know who I am. What is all this? Who are you? The scientist says that his name is Bernard Delacroix, and he works for Sotera. Sotera brought Delacroix there along with all his work. He works in de-extinction cloning. So that would explain the woolly mammoth that we saw. And he says, you know, that's why they wanted me, and I went along. But then when I understood what Persephone wants to do, I said no. That's all I did. I just said no. And because I said no, all of this happened. They've destroyed everything. And Delacroix goes on to say, if you're really him, you've got to stop them. They just left. Their team just left. You can find them. You can find Persephone. You can end her too. And Wolverine's like, whoa, slow down, buddy. How about if we get you a doctor first? And Delacroix's like, you know, it doesn't matter. That's not what's important. You are a great man until Sotera stole that from you, and she wants to do that to everybody. And she's going to bring down the whole world if you don't stop her. And again, Wolverine talks about how, I don't really remember who I am, but I am just one person, and how am I supposed to save the whole planet? And Delacroix says, well, you've done it before. And that surprises Wolverine. He's like, what? And Delacroix says, you know, I don't have time to explain. You got to go catch him. You got to bring Sotera down. But before that, please, it's the only way. And he takes Wolverine's fist and he holds it to his forehead. And Wolverine's like, what are you saying? And this is interesting. There's tears coming out of Delacroix's eyes. And he says, you have to do it. It'll never end for me. I'll never rest. And I'm assuming, just resurrect him over and over again, like she's apparently done with Wolverine. So he needs his brain to be destroyed is what I'm guessing. But before Wolverine can do anything, make any kind of decision, there's an explosive that's tossed into the lab that explodes. There's a piece of glass that goes into Delacroix's brain and kills him. Meanwhile, more of Wolverine's costume is burnt away. And the explosion also unleashed a saber-toothed tiger that's on fire. So obviously it's pretty agitated, and it jumps on Wolverine, and he's holding it away by the neck, keeping it from biting him. And he says, "Get off me, kitty." And as he says kitty, he gets this image in his mind of Kitty Pryde saying, "I love you." And he's kind of startled by that. Like, where did that come from? And then before anything else can happen, that woolly mammoth that we saw imprisoned before, basically impales the saber-toothed tiger with his tusks, and Wolverine is left there to kind of recover, and he looks down at a pool of blood and sees his reflection, and his reflection is talking to him in a voice that seems much more familiar to us, because this Wolverine we've seen so far is pretty tentative and pretty unsure of himself. The reflection is not, and says, "Get moving. These Sotira mugs just tried to kill you again. And now they're going to murder everyone else on the planet, including you. You might not remember, but you got plenty of people that you care about. So go stop those bastards. You're a hero." And Wolverine says, "What does that even mean? I'm a hero." And his reflection responds, "Bub, it ain't that complicated. Look at you walking up out of the hole. That's all you know. There's killers out there waiting for you. If you need a little motivation, just be a hero. Just be a hero. And I got another angle you might want to think about. Just one word, revenge." And as he's walking along, he sees a reflection of himself, but it's the Weapon X version with the helmet on. And the Weapon X version says, "Revenge. You can't let them get away with what they did. Nobody does anything like this to you." And then he sees another reflection, and it's his Patch persona in the white tux saying, "Or maybe you can just take back everything they stole from you. Lifetimes, buddy. They took lifetimes. It's your choice, really. Whatever keeps you moving." So clearly Wolverine is not quite himself at this point. So he finds a motorcycle outside the entrance to the cave that apparently housed this laboratory. And we see right outside the cave, there's also the carcass of that woolly mammoth. And it looks like it took out at least one of the Sotira guards. It's riddled with bullets, but it did take one guard with it before it went. So Wolverine sees the Humvee carrying three of the remaining Sotira guards. And he says to himself, "Whatever keeps me moving, I guess we'll see." So he hops on the motorcycle. He's armed with a machine gun. And he follows the Humvee. They're heading to a compound that looks like it's on the shore of a lake or some kind of an inlet. And meanwhile, there's a voice over a loudspeaker at this compound saying, "All residents assemble immediately. All residents must immediately assemble." And as they assemble, one of the residents saying, "Why are you here? We've done everything you asked. What do you want?" And he points to one boy in particular. And his mother says, "No, it's not right. Please don't do this. I beg you." And then in the next panel, we see that the compound is on fire. So Wolverine is still heading toward the compound. We see someone trying to escape from the compound. He's shot from a guard in a tower. And Wolverine sees this about to happen. And he's like, "Don't you do it. Don't you do it." But he's too far away to stop anything from happening. So he approaches the tower on his motorcycle as quickly as he can, kind of weaving back and forth to keep the guard from shooting him. He manages to avoid the first couple of shots and returns fire at the guard with the machine gun he has. But as we see the guard fall, it looks like he has an Omega Red symbol on his forehead. And in fact, we see him extend a tentacle like Omega Red has and stand back up and shoot Wolverine and manage to hit the front tire of the motorcycle, which explodes. Wolverine's thrown from it, hits his head on a rock, and passes out. Everything is blackness. And then I'm assuming this is some kind of a dream state or remembrance. And we see what looks to be some version of Wolverine in a prison cell. just saying bub, bub, bub over and over again with the version of Wolverine that we just saw standing outside of this prison cell. And Persephone is there with him, and she's saying, "I wouldn't get too close. That guy's crazy." And this version of Wolverine that we've been along for the ride with says, "He's locked in a cell. What's he gonna?" And the Wolverine inside the cell, who's been saying bub, 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 lunges at him through the bars. And Persephone says, "Yeah, you're all right. He can't get to you unless you let him out. Nothing in here gets out unless you let it out." And as the screen pans back, we see just row upon row and story upon story of these cells. And Persephone's holding the key. And when Wolverine looks around into the cells, one cell holds Storm, another holds the Weapon X version of him, another holds Sabretooth, another Cyclops, another what looks to be the very first version of Wolverine we ever saw in Hulk 180 and 181. We see another cell that has Lady Deathstrike. So remember I was talking about the different reflections and the different voices that he was hearing? And this is a total guess, but lifetimes were taken from Wolverine, right? Each of these cells may hold the memories of these particular aspects of his life. His memories of Cyclops, his memories of Storm, his memories of himself as Weapon X, or his memories of himself as Patch. And Persephone gives him the key, though. Says, "Why don't you take a look around? There's lots of interesting things. Open any door you want." Seems like maybe it would be a dangerous thing to give Wolverine his memories back if indeed Persephone has taken them from him. But then again, maybe this isn't something that she's necessarily intending. But Wolverine does notice a brick wall with three dots on it and asks what that is. And Persephone says, "It's not a door, it's a wall. It's there for a reason. You don't want to look behind there. You'd be very upset, trust me." And when Wolverine straight out asks who she is, she says, "My name's Persephone. We're going to be good friends." And Wolverine straight out says, "Ah, dead man told me you're going to do something terrible and said I should stop you." And Persephone, of course, says, "You're misinformed." Gives Wolverine a kiss and says, "Baby, I brought you back to life." So in the next panel, we see Wolverine's face bloody and a voice yelling, "Wake up, Wolverine, please, you have to wake up." And when he does wake up, he finds that the woman whose son was taken a few pages earlier is there. She says her name's Anna. She's asking for his help. His son was taken, and they need to go now before it's too late. And Wolverine says, "Hey, I'll help you if I can, but who's Wolverine?" She's like, you're Wolverine. And he's like, "You know, you say that like it's supposed to mean something, but I woke up, and then there was an explosion, and then I was fighting a saber-toothed tiger, and I..." And when he says Sabretooth, he gets, just like he did with Kitty, he gets a flash of Sabretooth in his mind saying, "I hate you." So he goes on to say, "You know, I can fight and stealing kids is wrong, but other than that, I'm not really sure, you know. I get hurt, it heals up fast, except for this, and I don't know why." And he shows the wound in his side. And so she starts filling him in. She says, "Yes, and you can find the tiniest sense on the wind, you can hunt, you can kill anything." And he seems surprised by that. He says, "Anything? Huh?" She says, "Yeah. And now I need you to kill people who took my son, those monsters from Soterra." And she shows him a symbol on one of the garage doors to one of the buildings that hasn't yet burned down completely. And I do notice that the symbol of Soterra did look a lot like those three dots on the brick wall that he saw in his dream. So he says, "You know, I've been hearing that name a lot." And she says, "Yeah, this was their place, a research facility. They kept bringing scientists here, all different kinds, and they were helping them do their work." And Wolverine's like, "Yeah, I met one that made a tiger." And this scientist seems to know who that was. She says, "Yeah, it's Delacroix. They kept his animals up in that cage in case of accidents. They didn't want anybody getting hurt." So meanwhile, she finds a stapler, a medical stapler, and she staples shut the wound in Wolverine's side that doesn't seem to want to heal. And he says, "How do you know this? Are you a scientist too?" And it turns out she's not. She said, "No, I worked in the canteen. People talk when they eat. They don't even realize who's listening. You can learn a lot. And my son was 15 when Soterra came and destroyed the facility, and they injected him with something from the lab." Wolverine's like, well, they probably wanted to make him a living incubator, put something inside him, harvest it when they get where they're going. And obviously Anna's pretty upset by that and wants to know why. And Wolverine's, well, I'm not sure, but I will help you. I'll get your son back. And Wolverine's like, do we know each other? And she says, no, not personally, but you're famous. You're Wolverine. And she goes to a locker and she pulls out a garment and hands it to him. And she goes on to say, you know, a lot of what I know is just rumors. Ordinary people like me don't really interact with people like you very often. But I know three stories, things I know are true, and I can tell them to you. So as Wolverine gets dressed, he says, well, then tell me. And she says, okay. The first story I know is true because I was there. I saw it happen. It's the story of why you wear yellow and blue. And she talks about a man who basically built almost like a war machine, a suit of armor. And he just seemed to be mad. He'd come for revenge and he was using the weapons to kill everybody he could. And a lot of people were running away. And then he came to a place where people couldn't run away. He came to a hospital and he was going to kill everyone in the hospital. But then you showed up and you were in your yellow and blue and nobody could take their eyes off you. And that's why you wear those colors, because when you confront evil men, you're so bright and colorful that they focus on you instead of the innocents around them. So then I saw you shot up and we figured you were dead. Who could survive such a thing, to a Gatling gun at point blank range? But you were alive and you stood up and you did the other thing they say Wolverine can do. You made knives come out of your hands and you saved us. You're a hero. And he seems surprised. He's like, because I kill people, you say I'm a hero? He says, no, because you save people. And as he hears that, we see in his mind, he's opening up one of the cells, and it looks like the classic Wolverine that we know, the yellow blue costume. And that version of Wolverine says, you decided to let me out first, huh? And our Wolverine, this newly awakened Wolverine, says, guess so, word is I'm a superhero. And the old classic version of Wolverine says, hell yeah, we are. And Wolverine says to himself, he says his name, Wolverine. What does it mean? That name has a lot of meaning. And he's starting to understand that. And he goes on to tell Anna, you said the people that took your son are with Sotira. Have you ever heard the name Persephone? And Anna has heard that name. And all she says is Persephone is the devil. And Wolverine says, yeah, all right, then let's go meet the devil. And he pops his claws back out. And he is wearing a new costume, something we've never seen before. Black, looks to be black leather with red piping. So it's a striking look. And next, the sea. So perhaps that's where they took this boy by ship when they left the compound. So in a way, a lot happens in this issue, but it's certainly not a traditional narrative, right? Charles Soule wakes us up in the middle. If we were looking for answers on where Wolverine was, how he came back to life, what he's been up to, we got none of that. Soule dropped us right in the middle of this, whatever it is, I don't want to say mystery, but this action. And again, I think that the cells represent aspects of Wolverine's mind and Wolverine's memory that he's going to have to rediscover. Why Persephone would want him to rediscover those, I'm not sure. Maybe it's inadvertent and he's just using whatever has been implanted in him by Sotira that helped bring him back to life. That's manifesting as Persephone in his mind, and eventually he'll expel her from his mind or kill her or in some other way rid himself of it. But it does seem like having this mission to go rescue Anna's son, Perrin, I think his name is, it seems like that mission, that journey will be the path that Wolverine takes to rediscover who he is. And it may be, I hope this is not the case. We have 5 issues here, but it very well could be that we don't get that many answers about Sotira in this issue, in this story. That may be a story for a later time. I'm pretty sure that Charles Soule is making up Persephone to be a big bad, you know, a big villain in the Marvel universe. And so it could be that she's, you know, she's Strife, or she's Mr. Sinister, or she's Apocalypse, and she's going to be around for a long time. Don't think we'll see like some kind of final solution for her. I'm sure she'll escape in some way. So that's all to be determined. I will say that the art is absolutely spectacular. It's Steve McNiven, whose art is always really detailed and very expressive. He's channeling some Barry Windsor Smith here big time, which works perfectly for Wolverine. It's just that style of art that I don't even know how to explain it other than it's Barry Windsor Smith. I mean, if you're familiar with Barry Windsor Smith's art, you know it has, I don't know, a little bit of a fine art quality to it, but yet it's got some real weight to it, the real strength of figure work and strength of character. The art feels very solid, almost like, you know, Kirby's art, where it feels very, very solid and it has a lot of weight to it. But it also has a lot of detail, a lot of action that's very kinetic. The art tends to flow from one panel to the next very easily. There's a bit of a regalness to it. It just has a certain distinct feel. And I definitely get a lot of Barry Windsor Smith in this issue. I love the art in this issue. It so perfectly suits the story and the tone and the mood I think that Charles Soule is going for. Now, for the negative part of it, as much as I love this art, I think it's absolutely amazing. McNiven's only doing issues 1 and 5, which it just, you know, I first heard about it and I was like, well, you know, it's not a huge surprise. McNiven's not the fastest guy in the world. And then I heard Declan Shelby was coming on to do the other issues. And I think there might even be a third artist that's doing one. Maybe Declan's only doing 2 of the issues. And then the third one is from somebody else. And I love Declan Shelby's art, but that is very different art and a very different style than McNiven, and especially different than what McNiven's art is here, because it's not like this art, the style that McNiven is doing here, where it seems like he's channeling some Barry Windsor Smith. I don't think it's like a big departure from what his art normally is. I mean, it's still recognizable as his art. It just looks like it has a little bit of Barry Windsor Smith overtone to it. And again, I love Declan Shelby's art, but it is not Steve McNiven. It is very different. And so I'm just worried that it's going to look, especially in trade, very choppy. I guess it's possible that depending on the way Charles Soule structures the story, that maybe it won't stand out, or it won't feel so choppy. Like if the next issue flashes back and it doesn't immediately pick up where this one ends, right? Like maybe it's Sotiera taking Logan's body from the grave or something like that. So I think if it's something like that, then maybe it would work a little better. But yeah, I'm just not sure how having these other artists on the book is gonna play out. And again, I mean, McNiven was the first one to say, you know, I'm not the fastest artist in the world, and he knows he's gotten even a little slower, unfortunately, as time's gone on. So when the art looks this amazing, it's hard to be upset about it, honestly. But yeah, it's just too bad that McNiven couldn't have done it all. So, but I don't know. We'll see. Declan is a extremely talented artist, and his art may try to emulate McNiven or Barry Windsor Smith himself a little bit, which would maybe keep the art more consistent. And then reading it in trade wouldn't seem so choppy. And again, it's not at all a knock against Declan. I love Declan's art. He's going to be at New York Comic Con. I'm going to be at New York Comic Con. It's going to be my first chance to meet him. Really excited. Huge fan of his. But again, I like consistency of art in my story. And not only that, it's like, why would I not want Steve McNiven to do the whole thing based on how amazing this first issue looked, right? I mean, if they'd chosen Declan to do the first issue, then I'd probably be saying the exact same thing in reverse, right? Saying, oh, keep Declan on all issues. His art looks great. So it's just a personal preference. And it is possible that it'll work beautifully well. I was kind of apprehensive about rotating artists on both the DC Rebirth books and the Superman Man of Steel miniseries recently from Brian Michael Bendis. And for the most part, the art worked well in those, in both those instances, even though it was different artists on each issue. So yeah, it's possible that this will work out great. It's going to be kind of a wait and see thing. But as far as the story goes, like I said, we're dropped right in the middle. It's great to see Logan back. He doesn't really feel all the way back yet because, you know, obviously his memories are missing. And he's missing somewhat of that killer instinct. But I think knowing Charles Soule the way that I do and what he likes to explore in characters and in talking to him at Phoenix Comic Con this last year about this Return of Wolverine series and what he wanted to do, I think that, or what I expect, is that he's going to use this story and the structure of the story to basically let Logan rediscover himself. And in Logan's rediscovery of himself, we're along for the ride and we're discovering who Logan is now, right? I mean, this is a chance to, I don't want to say clean up, because it's not like his history is, I mean, his history is what it is, right? It can be convoluted, and it took forever before we finally got an origin story. What was that, like 2004 or something? The Paul Jenkins origin story, and which was a big surprise then. Everybody thought that we'd never get the definitive answer to Wolverine's origin story. But this is a chance to keep the things that they want and kind of get rid of the things that they don't. And it may literally come to a decision on Logan's part where he himself is making that decision. I mean, obviously it's editorially driven, but in the story, it would be Logan choosing not to unlock all those cells, right? And that's very interesting. There's a lot you could do there. And honestly, the fact that this is only 5 issues, kind of surprising, because this is a character with such long history and rich history, and there's so much you could explore. I mean, you could do an ongoing series just about Logan trying to rediscover himself, you know, each issue being dedicated to a cell, right? And him trying to decide, are these memories that I want to unlock? Is this a part of my life that I want back? I mean, eventually you would think he's got to be willing to take the good with the bad, because just like all of us in life, all the events of our life, both good and bad, shape who we are. You know, the whole everything happens for a reason, and each event in your life led you to where you are now in your life. And hopefully, you know, a lot of us are in really good places in our lives. I hope that for all of you. And so that means every red light you got led you to where you are now, if you think of it that way. You know, that speeding ticket you got, it sucks that you got that speeding ticket, but it set you on that path in your life where you were at the right place at the right time to meet your significant other, or to conceive a child, or whatever it is, right? And none of us are ever going to get this chance that Wolverine has to make choices on whether or not to remember all those things in our life or to keep some locked away. And again, it's an interesting philosophical conversation or exercise to have, to think about, should you take it all? Should you take the good and the bad? Or should you leave the bad because maybe it'll make you a better person? Again, I mean, it's so rich, it's such a rich idea and such a big idea that I think you could do a Wolverine series just about that, right? And it could last years and years because he has been alive for so long and experienced so much and has memories of just about every other character in the Marvel universe. But he has been gone for quite a while. So there's also stories that can be told of him catching up on what he's missed and finding out about what's happened in his absence. So real rich place to play. I know that Charles Soule's Daredevil run is coming to an end. If Charles is the new Wolverine writer, man, will I be so, so happy. There's got to be a Wolverine title coming out, right? So I don't think there's been anything announced, not that I can remember. So, but I hope when it is, maybe it'll be announced at New York Comic Con. Charles writing it would be amazing. And the other thing in this issue, we did get to see the Hot Claws just momentarily. And Charles did say there's like a, kind of a legitimate reason for those. So hopefully we'll get that sooner than later as well, because I'm very curious. So all in all, if you're a Wolverine fan, if you're an X-Men fan, this is obviously is a must read. It was a great issue. It was a great start. If you're not a big fan and you're just mildly curious, I would say probably hold off for now. Maybe get it in trade, because I don't know how many questions are going to be answered in this. And I don't want to recommend, hey, yeah, jump in. And then it turns out it's just the first part of the next chapter of Wolverine's continuing story, right? That's kind of like Hunt for Wolverine was. Nick and I covered the entire Hunt for Wolverine event with spotlights on each individual issue because we thought it was based on the length of it and the amount of material they were putting out. We thought, yeah, this is going to be a big story about how Wolverine returns. And it didn't turn out to be that at all. And we kind of had a little egg on our face. I totally blame Nick. It was his idea to jump on it. I was going to wait until it was all said and done and then go and check it out. But anyway, it's not a big deal. Those some of those stories were better than others, but I'm glad I read it. It was enjoyable. So I don't want to make that same mistake twice. So let's wait and see. At least one more issue. If you're just a casual reader, we'll definitely cover issue two, and I'll give you my thoughts on if I think you should jump in at that point or hold off, wait for the trade, or wait to see how it all plays out. But if you're a Wolverine fan, if you're an X-Men fan, then yeah, you gotta get in here, because you're gonna have a great appreciation for the complexity of a story where it's mostly action and it's tightly paced. But there's the little Easter eggs in there that help flesh it out and make it a much more rich story and give an idea of where Charles Soule might be going. So I really enjoyed it. The art was especially amazing, and I'm looking forward to issue two. All right. Well, thanks for joining us, everybody. Please tell your friends about us. Subscribe and rate us on iTunes, Stitcher, Google Play, or whatever platform you use. The ratings really help with our visibility and our ability to reach new listeners, especially 5-star reviews on iTunes. Also, all past episodes of the podcast are available on all those platforms, as well as at lrmonline.com. While you're at the site, please check out all the other pop culture coverage of your favorite and upcoming movies and TV shows. If you want to email us, the email address is thecomicsourceblog@gmail.com, or you can follow us on Twitter, twitter.com/thecomicsource. Do a search for The Comic Source on Facebook and Instagram to follow us on those social platforms. All three spots are great places to find out when we release new episodes, as well as follow all our convention coverage. As I mentioned, I'm going to be at New York Comic Con. It's the first weekend in October. So if you're going to be there, let me know. Always love to meet up with listeners, talk a little comics, grab a picture, and I'll even have some Comic Source lanyards to give away at the show. So once again, I want to thank everybody for listening, and we'll talk to you next time.